This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, now Lim Soon Heng. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, Dharma Orchestra changed its name to Dharma Asia, and with that launched its first English-language musical, Love Story. As Dharma Orchestra, it performed Chinese language musicals like Butterfly Lovers, I Have a Date with Spring, a bilingual Empress Wu with songs in Mandarin and dialogue in English. It offered song and dance shows like a tribute to four Hong Kong stars, Anita Mui, Leslie Cheung, Danny Chan, Roman Tam. The show was filled with cantopop songs. Dharma Orchestra runs a space, Theatre Lounge Cafe in Plaza Damas 3, which provided the company with a venue for cabaret-style performances, including smaller theatre shows and slices of opera. Now, as Dharma Asia, it is performing also in a new space. In the coming Sunday, May 13th, offering its second production there at Tropicana Golf and Country Resort's Grand Ballroom, Dharma Asia will present Le Cabaret Shanghai, an evening of dinner, song and dance, which stars the songstress Tan Su Suan, who is here with the artistic director and co-owner of Dharma Asia, Poon Kai Loon. Welcome, folks.
Thank you, Soon Heng.
Hi.
Dharma, whatever your suffixes, Dharma Asia, Dharma Orchestra, it's one of the older companies in Malaysia performing and producing.
We are 24 years old.
You started in 1994. I've heard you tell this story, but I don't think folks out there know how when you came in, Dharma Orchestra was strictly an orchestra. Now you do a lot of other things.
Yeah. We're starting playing classical Chinese music, basically because a lot of the musicians in the group then were classical trained, and therefore their forte was really classical works. For 3 years, 94, 95, 96, they were performing to full houses, and we had shows even in Putra World Trade Center. Unfortunately, as you point out just now, despite all the full houses that we got, we couldn't make money.
Is this the position performing arts group inevitably find themselves, that you can perform to full houses, but you still cannot make a living out of it?
Partly because I think to some extent, the Chinese music circuit is slightly different from, let's say, the Western circuit. Mainly because in schools, there are lots of orchestra groups and they are performing yearly. And if you want to listen to classical work free of charge or at very minimal fee, you can always attend any of these schools' concerts. So when you take it out of the school room and put it into a professional setting of people having to pay relatively higher price for it, it has a certain limited number of audience that you can host. I mean, probably you can perform one day show and it's full house, you know. So in that sense, when you talk about the return, you won't have enough money to pay for everything. So that's how it ended up. So that's why, in some sense, also whether you like it or not, Chinese musicians during that time when we started 1994, they were not so-called seen on par with Western musicians. And therefore, to some extent, they were always accorded a secondary status. And so in terms of pricing, it also reflected that as well.
So the model has to change. And it's no longer just an orchestra. At what point in time did you bring in singers like Su Suan?
It started basically because of the Asian crisis, 1997, 98, because we could not support, at that time we had about 30 musicians. How do you support 30 musicians when you have a crisis and people are not coming to see shows? So that was a huge kind of a internal reflection on our part. What are we going to do? So that's where the idea of musical-oriented shows came into being. And that's why eventually we worked with some artists. And then finally, when Su Suan is available to work with us, we took it and have quite a good time after that, you know.
That's year 2000. I started with Dharma. And I still remember that Seng Chu and Kai Loon drove up to Penang to just really listen to me one song. During the, that's a national, right?
Yeah, national competition.
Yeah, national, competition. That year, I took the 3 consecutive years of my grand champion. Yeah, that's how we met. And I still remember the first time I did an audition. You know, that's no audition in my whole life. What I trained for is just sing classical song and perform on stage. And luckily, it won some prizes. So that's the first time where Sing Chu called me up and said, hey, would you like to come down to KL and just have a very short audition with us? And I said, okay, I can come and see you all. That's the first time I met our artistic director, Poon Kai Lun, where he asked me to put my hand up and shake my bum when I sing a song. It's totally a new world to me. We didn't train in this way to sing like that.
So, Swan, you're a classically trained singer.
Western classical. Yeah.
Why, Kai Lun, did you go find a classically trained singer for an orchestra that plays Chinese classical music?
Because once we started on the route of musical-inspired kind of performances, we're looking for a person more than just a singer that is prepared to be adventurous and do a bit of acting and a bit of dancing. The issue is like, who can fill that role? Of course, eventually we found that Su Xuan has that ability and flexibility, because our problem is a lot of classical singers are not trained in these other areas. But it was so game and flexible, we thought we could do something with her.
I just want cari makan, simple as that, you know? When you have to get a job and get a gig or engagement, you just have to try everything. I think I'm quite open-minded in this kind of field. And I still remember that when Sing Chu talked to me, they are doing some, like the Chinese oldest, mainly during the 30s to 60s, which actually is not new to me. Back to the Shi Dai Qu, actually during the 30s and 60s, a lot of sopranos actually singing all those songs. So we have a very good music director who actually pick up the songs to suit my voice. So I find that it's quite easy for me to deliver it during that time.
Kai Lun, Dharma Orchestra definitely in that period then changed its business model. So what area did you move into and say, this is how we are going to perform and make a career and make a living out of performances?
When we started, we worked very much on our own in association with associations. Now, because partly most of these associations are also like very much like NGOs, so they are also trying to raise funds for themselves. In the end, partly because of the limited ticket sales that you can do with a show, there's not much to spread around. Then eventually when we decided to work on the musical theatre format, that's where we brought ourselves into really a free market scenario whereby people are asked to pay money and come and see the show at a price that we would set. And basically because of that, our issue was how do we make it sustainable? Luckily when we started the first show, which is called Spring Kisses, Lovers Tears, that was a surprised show for us because we didn't realise it could catch the market imagination. And if I'm not mistaken, to date, that show have run over 100 performances already.
Yeah.
Over 100. So that was a lucky break, I would say, you know, and that essentially allows us to get a bit more income flowing to sustain us as a group. But there's no one on fixed income anyway, fixed salary. It's like you got show, you have income. No show, there's no income, yeah. That is basically the model. Until towards later part of our development in musical theatre work, we call ourselves the Dharma Music Theatre, that's when we start looking at possible collaboration with corporate. And most of the collaboration with corporate comes in the form of event hosting, the bulk of it. Yeah, and there were a couple of sponsorship, but predominantly our support comes from event hosting from the corporate side.
Performing for the corporate world, I suspect, means that you have to cater to their needs and the kinds of performances that they like and they want. How much control do you have in a model like that?
Oh, luckily for us, we set what we want to do and we pitch our ideas to the corporate and whether they like it or not. Of course, there are some, oh, this is not my cup of tea or this is not my team, you know. But there are corporations that would fall into things we want to do. So they are keen to take that project up. It's a kind of, you cast a net across broader market and see who takes it out. That's how we work on.
Once you started music theatre, did the company become sustainable? You could generate enough income through your performances, either for corporate, for the theatre, for the general public, and then stand on your own 2 feet?
If you want to talk about timing, I can only remember it's only in the last 15 years. We have been in existence for 24 years. I would say half of that time were basically hand-to-mouth existence. Only some 12 years ago that we managed to perhaps like lock in fixed salary for people. And that's, I mean, that we have only three main persons in Dharma, the music director, the two executive. So that's the time when we are able to lock in people on a fixed income basis. So it's half our lifespan that we managed to get something on a more stable footing.
You come from the corporate world, Kai Loon. How much of what you have done in the corporate world, the thinking there, the way you plan things there, seeps into how you run a theatre company so it becomes like a business entity?
It's always a very difficult thing to do when you work with musicians and artists. Because I come from a very disciplined organization structure, you know, because if you have given this role, you have to do this role and you are accountable for that role. But once you are in mixed with musicians, it's like jack of all trades and masters of none.
That's why we call ourselves artists, because it starts with art. That's how we see it.
Does somebody like this present artists like you problems? Kai Loon is also the artistic director, but his career, right? I mean, you spend all your time in finance. So how is it working with Kai Loon to come up with a business model that works for everybody?
We don't talk business.
I think we come from different background. Different people have different thought or perceptions in handling different art. You know, that's why arts come with different price. There's no fixed price. But one thing good about us collaborate to work together, I think we have a same direction. Yeah, this is what I look at. Because artists normally do not know or how to market ourselves, you know, to sell and make the money out of it. We only know that, okay, whatever you give to us, we just try our best to deliver it. That's our job. But we still need people like him to sell us. If not, that's no marketing at all. So that's how I see it. But when he come as the role as the artistic director, he has his different point of view of listening to the songs. Example, I have a very hard time with him when he doesn't understand Mandarin, when I'm singing a Mandarin song. And so that's the direction is totally different. But I take it as a challenge because when people come and listen to you, they're not everyone understand what you're saying. They need to work with a body. They need to work with a different directions. So that's how I rethink when I perform a song. So that's a lot of possibility and a lot of dimension when you look at a song.
So I'm very keen to find out the fact that you, Dharma Orchestra, Dharma Asia, has a track record of 24 years and you have changed your model, starting with a Chinese classical orchestra, now doing musical theatre. What kind of thinking goes into, okay, now we need to shift to this. Now we need to acquire a theatre lounge cafe so that we can have our own cabaret performances. I'm speaking with Poon Kai Loon, the artistic director and co-founder of Dharma Asia, and Tan Su Suan, who is the company's vocal director and main songstress. We're talking about what performing arts company needs to do to remain sustainable. Coming up, singing in Le Cabaret. This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
I mean, the issue is like whether you like it or not, along the way, you meet a saturation in the marketplace of what you do. And when you have that saturation, then what do you do next? You know, it's like bringing a new lease of life to a corporate entity in enormous standard businesses. I think performing arts itself within a Malaysian context is even tougher because I think our market size is very small. And therefore, you each time if you want to talk about the theoretical S-curve of corporate lifespan, you have to invent a lot of S's to lift up to another level all the time. So I would say now, in some sense, we also would like to internationalize our work. All of these are very at its infancy, but at least it's a kind of direction we hope we could explore further.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng with Poon Kai Loon and Tan Soo Swan of Dharma Asia. Earlier in the first half, we talked about a performing arts company finding its niche and then engendering a sustainable business model. Your business model didn't stop with music theatre. You went ahead and bought a space.
Yeah, we did. It's called Theatre Lounge Cafe. That was not a commercial proposition at all. Partly because we were happy doing our work and we thought we are fine at that moment, and we thought maybe we could work with some experimental projects. And also at the same time, because we know that there are lots of actors, full-time singers, performers around who do not get jobs, back-to-back productions to work on. So we thought, hey, these people could perhaps like a space like Theatre Lounge Cafe to do their work. So that was how it started, more like a social business. We didn't think about making money at all. We started more on a kind of altruistic, corporate responsibility kind of work.
Dharma at that point arrived at a state of saying, no, we are okay. Now we need to contribute back to the performing arts scene.
That's exactly what we thought we are doing decently, and that we thought we could help artists out in the circuit. You know, that was essentially the idea behind it, really.
And how is this model working?
We are in the fourth year, now it's in the fifth year. It was doing well for the first 2 years. And then the last 2 years, because the economy took a dip, so times were a bit tough. I mean, we managed to still sustain ourselves. And eventually when Tropicana came in and said whether we would like to join with them in doing this work, we said, why not? It would be quite a welcome move, because then essentially what we have in Theatre Lounge Cafe was using spaces only for a certain period of time, a month. And we were at the same time footing a monthly rental, which doesn't seem economically viable and feasible. Now that Tropicana came in and said, would you like to join venture with them? Of course, we say that that's a good idea. Therefore, our cost becomes a variable cost factor. It's no longer a fixed cost factor. We took up their offer, and because they've seen some shows in TLC, and they like what we did, so that's how we managed to get together and work on this project now.
TLC only has performances Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So how does this new business model working with another corporate body that runs a residential community, but it has a clubhouse, and now it has taken part in your TLC?
Yeah. For their benefit, they love the idea of us coming to do some programming for them, which is good for their residents, their members. And on our side, our members will also enjoy that space because it's a lovely space. And secondly, also then we don't have to be burdened with so many things like managing the inventory of the alcoholic beverages, the drinks and so on and so forth. So we are just programmer and we make sure that program runs well and sussing out artists and performances.
You have already done one show there, I Have a Dream. Suswan, this is Dharma Asia's second foray into performing at Tropicana. Mm. But this is a very big space. It seats something like 500, I hear.
I have not been to the place yet, frankly. So we are going next week. So I think we took up about two space of the ballroom, right?
Well, this show has 40 tables.
Yeah.
So that's 400 people.
400 people, yeah. I think it's nice. We used to do shows about 500 people plus in KL Pack, and that would be yearly, like 1 year once, big project. So if we can have a space which we can do something, I think that's good. That's good.
One last question about the business model before we shift to this concert. So what space now does Dharma Asia play in? Are you corporate events? Like what this is, in a way, sounds very much like a corporate event also. or are you into musical theatre? On your website, there is, you are going into drama, maybe small dramas that you can continue to perform in Theatre Lounge Cafe. You also have education and then opera.
So what's happening? Well, basically, we thought that the concept of Dharma Asia is really about reaching out and working with people outside Dharma space. We are keen to explore good works that people may want to present in Malaysia or want to work with us here locally. It could be plays, operas, or educational work. I would say that we are looking outwards. Yeah, not so much internalizing everything we do. We have already initiated collaboration work with Singapore people, Singaporeans, the Chinese as well, and also in the West. These are all the starting point of where we are heading. Not necessarily everything is performed by us. We could be a producer, you know, we could take in projects that we can look at that's interesting and attractive.
This kind of change, is this inevitable? The business model of any performing arts company must change over time.
I think, yeah, we have to be very adaptive and flexible. I mean, the issue is like whether you like it or not, along the way, you meet a saturation in the marketplace of what you do. And when you have that saturation, then what do you do next? You know, it's like bringing a new lease of life to a corporate entity in enormous standard businesses. I think performing arts itself within a Malaysian context is even tougher because I think our market size is very small. And therefore, you each time if you want to talk about the theoretical S-curve of corporate lifespan, you have to invent a lot of S's to live up to another level all the time. So I would say now, in some sense, we also would like to internationalize our work. All of these are very at its infancy, but at least it's a kind of direction we hope we could explore further. We'll see what comes out of it, really.
So for you, Suswan, going to perform in this new space in a very different format, what do you have to kind of have in your head to say, look, these are people who are coming here, they may know of Dharma, they may not know of Dharma. How do you respond to this kind of audience?
I think, for me, we sing to each pair of ears. We don't choose people to sing to. You sing to the people who actually buy the tickets to come and appreciate your art. Whether they know you, they don't know you, this is the first time, or this is the many times. Because our job is to give the best every performance. I look at it this way. So no different from me to sing in Malaysia, to sing in Perth, to sing in America, or even in China. Because you're only singing to a pair of ears. Only good music, good singing, sincerity will go to the pairs of ears.
What's the repertoire for this Le Cabaret?
It's Le Cabaret Shanghai. So it needs to have the Shanghai at the back. If not, it's going to be the Le Cabaret, the musical of the Western musical. The thing I still remember is at the Legend Hotel. So this kind of concept, I'm blessed in a way that we can do it again with different dancers, with different ensemble, with different people, with different voices, and with different age when I sing it again. So it definitely will give different feel out of it. And although it's the same song, but different interpretation, that I would say. And I think we did some new arrangement and with a touch of jazz in a very cabaret, Western cabaret touch of it, instead of just Shanghai. So that's how I look at it.
It is actually, the repertoire has changed a lot. It's a mixture of new and old works that we have done, yeah? But even the old works, we have updated it and contemporized it a fair bit.
What are some of the songs that you're singing?
If you come to Le Cabaret Shanghai, you definitely will hear Ye Shanghai, because the Shanghai has to be there. So that will be our grand opening to welcome everyone to come for the dinner and the show. So I'm singing songs like everyone favorites and the classics, Ye Lai Xiang, songs like Deng Zhen Ni Hui Lai, songs like a little bit touch of Historia de un amor, but not singing in Spanish, but 我的心里只有你没有他, so things like that.
Who are the people you're expecting to come see this performance? Are they just residents of Tropicana, or are you going to go beyond that?
Well, this is in celebration of Mother's Day. We hope that it can cover everyone, and family will come along to celebrate Mother's Day, really. And it doesn't matter whether you are residents or members or Dharma's supporters. It's a celebration for everyone, really.
Le Cabaret Shanghai and an evening of dinner, song and dance takes place on Sunday, May 13th, Mother's Day. It starts at 7 p.m. at the Grand Ballroom Tropicana Golf and Country Resort. It will feature Tan Su Xuan with the Dharma Orchestra. Tickets, which are inclusive of pre-cocktail and dinner, are priced at $320, $380 and $450. Contact Tropicana or Theatre Lounge Cafe for reservations. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.